We are again grateful with all our hearts, grateful to God that we may come together, that it's still the time of grace, that we may still gather undisturbed. Also for this, we are grateful. Just imagine, we would have a rented hall somewhere in the city center. How did you want to let the trumpets play there? Where did we want to park the cars? Where did we want to serve the people with food and drink? Where did we want to let them sleep? God has taken care for everything in a very wonderful way. Also for this, we are grateful to Him with all our heart and with all our soul. And you, who you are accommodated in this mass quarters, rejoice even the more and be grateful when you get home again. So, it has a beneficial effect. And also for this, we want to thank the Lord with all our heart. We are glad that you come. We are glad that God's word means so much to you. It has become so precious to us. I don't know what we would do without this word. It has become our life. We also don't want to overlook that ministering brethren are in our midst from Belgium, from France, from Switzerland, Austria, from Poland, and perhaps from other countries. May God bless you in a special way. At the end, we will give you greetings to all, and we are looking forward to the conference in autumn at the first weekend in October, and hope that God will be in a mighty way with us. And from every time to the other time, we have more confidence that God will do greater things than He did already. If one, while passing by, hears the individual testimonies that the Lord still calls out from churches and denominations, and that He reveals His word, then one just rejoices with everyone who experiences God. All who are newly added, we welcome you in a very special way in the precious name of the Lord. One brother said so fitting, "I was looking for the true church of God." And then the words followed, "Now I have found it." May we serve this dignity that we really, as the Church of God, would also be considered by God as such, that we in His eyes can really be looked at as His church. I believe it is us. And we are honest enough, as I said this morning already, that we are not yet there where God wants us to be. But we have such a draw in us, such an urge, a longing to get there, and God will satisfy it. We have a longing for it, that the name of the Lord is once more honored, that it is once more glorified. According to the scripture, glorify thy name. And the answer came, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. May this again come together with this once more. From Hebrews 12, God says, once more, I will not only shake the heavens, but heaven and earth. Once more. That's how Samson said it at that time. And so we say it today. Oh yes, we are grateful for such meetings. And we notice that the Spirit of God sometimes swings to the left and to the right. And later on, one finds out this was so fitting there were individuals, for them it was necessary that they hear what was said. And sometimes we may wonder, do you have to swing to the left and to the right? Oh yes, God knows all things. He knows the needs of the individuals and He responds to it. We shall know He cares for every individual, for you and for me. He knows what we need. The word came into my mind in connection with the baptism. There is so nicely written in the book of Acts, chapter 2, those who gladly received His word were baptized. It is just connected with one another. Those who gladly received His word, those who believe His word, who took it seriously, what He said, they were baptized. And so we are also thankful for all who were baptized today. And we wish you God's special blessing. And we hope that all the others who still fight a battle, that also they will come forth as a victor and who just respect God and God's word, putting it at the first place and neither listen to themselves or listen to others, but to speak with our Lord, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. No person will regret when he has done the will of God. Just the contrary, it is written in Hebrews of our Lord, I have come to do thy will, O God. And therefore he says, in the volume of the book it is written of me, the same it is with us. He said back then in his body of flesh, as the Son of Man, not my will, but thy will be done. The same all sons and daughters of God say, as long as they are still here in this body of flesh, thy will be done. And provided the will of God is revealed to us, obedience is added. And we may gladly do what He commanded us. Beloved, if I think about how difficult it is being made for us to serve the Lord and to do the proclamation, all the others, in comparison to us, they have a very easy thing. The whole world cheers to them. The devil doesn't put a spoke in their wheel. The great evangelists with a high reputation, they have all the means available to advance their own cause. And it seems that we have to walk in the footprints of the prophets, of the apostles, in the footprints of our Lord, and that we have to bear His reproach. I've said it many times. He who thinks to come to an honor with the Lord and with the word of God, he is mistaken. Our Lord says, ye seek honor from men, and I seek the honor which comes from the only God. And He says, how can you serve God if you still receive honor from men? Only to one is the honor due, and this is our Lord and God. All the prophets went through misunderstandings. They had to walk on difficult ways. They were persecuted, misunderstood, and so forth. But they carried the precious seed of the Word of God. And when I spoke about it this morning, God, even thy God, has anointed thee. There I thought in connection with the Gospel of John, chapter 10, there it says, God spoke of them to whom the word came, ye are gods. And the Lord says, how can you dispute the consecration of the Son? Oh yes, if we were born again, We are of divine kindred. We have become sons and daughters of God. And Brother Pesal touched upon a very wonderful thought. If we are children, then we are also heirs. We know, even in the natural, there is a legal order of succession. And then there are the people of the first grade. They receive then automatically, according to the last will, their inheritance. But they have to prove to be related. They must belong to them to whom the inheritance is determined. When is this? When we are genuine children, they are always heirs. They can come what wants. Children are heirs. And if we are children of God, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. So don't you worry about the heavenly inheritance. We will receive it by grace. There would be some things to be said, to give some clarification, but you know, I don't want to go into earthly things anymore, especially because it is not worthwhile. One can try to straighten out or to correct things as much as one likes. There will always be people who have evil intentions, who have envy and jealousy in them, and who just wait for to find something about which they can open wide their mouths. But somebody, and please don't take this lightly, but it fits so nicely here. Somebody said, God didn't let grow enough grass to shut the mouth of every ox. And that's how it is. There are people, they always have to say something. Of course, not about themselves. Always me. I don't know why. Why I always have to be the target. They always put me into the center. But when I tell you now, please hold fast your seats. The people are angry with me. Satan doesn't like me at all. Already for a long time. And that's no wonder. I've said it here before. Whoever did not meet him yet and had an argument with him, he walks with him into the same direction. And this may be far from it. But if it comes so far that people misuse my name and put up an advertisement in the newspaper that I'm looking for a lady with whom I'm looking for acquaintance, and then even put my telephone number in it, and when I'm phoned then, and I'm then flabbergasted, if this now the false brothers cut out of the newspaper, like with a doctor article, and then even enlarge it, what comes out of this? Then in the end they say, is this man still normal at all? See, I have to endure everything. There is nothing what could not come into the mind of the people. They even spend money with these things. And a very young lady phoned, very polite, I do this by the commission of my mother. I say, what? I know of nothing. Can you imagine this? So far we have come already. The people cross every line. Not the unbelievers. They have brains. They know how to behave. But the believers are driven by the devil and don't know it. But one thing I want to tell you. He who is of God will not listen to all these things. He will know exactly. These are slanders. They just belong to it. And as our Lord had to endure everything, and I say it once again, if it would happen like with this doctor title, such a small article, dozens of times enlarged and sent into all the world, if this happens again now, what then? The false brothers, just wait for it. And yet, I may say with all my heart, may God bless them. Yes, Sister Rempel, you take a deep breath. You don't have to feel sick. I mean this with all my heart. May God bless them. It serves for my good, for purification, for self-examination. God doesn't permit anything unless it serves for our good. And blessed is the man who can endure all things. And yet, with a sincere heart, wishing all God's blessing. How God thinks about it, this is up to Him. One thing I know, the elect will never persecute other elect. He who is part of the body of Jesus Christ, there it is written that one member serves the other member. One member helps the other member. If we belong to the body of the Lord, then we serve one another with the gift that God has given us. And Paul writes, the Lord did not send us to destroy, but to build up. And also Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 teaches us that God has set the ministries into the church to bring the church unto perfection. And after God has given us the glorious prophetic message, we may proclaim it in the confidence that He will bring everything to pass in a wonderful way and make all things well. I would like to read a word and then read again some quotes from the sermon of Brother Branham. I just hope that all are here with an open heart, that they believe and trust and receive and are blessed by God. I believe also in these meetings God has spoken to us and made some things clearer to us and lets us see more clear. And also for this we are very grateful with all our hearts. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, here it says in verse 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also who pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Let us once again stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank You for Your word, for the redemption, for every revelation, for the salvation of our soul, for the deliverance of our spirit, for the healing of our body. We thank You, O Lord, that You made the damage well on Calvary. What God lost through Adam, You brought back. We thank You for it. O faithful Lord, may You now come upon us with Your Spirit and rule. Lead us in speaking, in hearing. O Lord, work during the time when we hear Your word, that what we hear from it, that it can become divine reality. Beloved Lord, we thank You for the narrow way that we can walk together with you in good and bad report, in honor and shame, whatever may come. Thank you so much, O Lord, that you counted us worthy to bear the reproach of Christ. Lord, your word is worth everything to us, and we ask you, keep us in your grace and in your word. Lord, give also now the anointing of your Holy Spirit in such a mighty way that all the depressed are raised up. Yes, that the feeble knees and the hands which hang down are strengthened and raised, that the smoking flax is kindled again and gives light by the fire of the Spirit, and let also the wind of the Spirit blow, so that the fire burns brightly. O Lord, we ask you, be thou in our midst, and speak and work. Lord, we don't want to see and hear anyone but you alone. Come to your right. O Lord, may the blood of the Lamb and the Word of God and the Spirit of God accomplish everything what still has to happen in, on, and through us all. To you, the living God, we thank you wholeheartedly for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I still would like to read from the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5, from verse 5 to verse 8. 1 John chapter 5, 5 to 8. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. May I take off my jacket? Thank you. If we look at the word of the Lord in such a way and go into it, that God thought on everything, I don't know how you feel, but I'm overwhelmed. The deeper we are led into the counsel of God, the more I am overwhelmed. How clear, how precise God has spoken in his word that we, by grace, have available. The nice thing is that we don't interpret it, but that we simply believe it as it is written and receive it in such a way and let it work on us. For there are three that bear witness: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. We don't want to go into detail at all, but the Spirit of God convicts. And then doesn't matter whether it's about biblical water baptism or the washing of water by the Word. Doesn't matter. Both is necessary. Both is biblical, and both is right. And the blood, anyhow, that is always certain. Therein our redemption took place. By this, the new covenant came into force. The testament became legal when the death of Jesus Christ, who gave it, when the death was proved on the cross of Calvary. In that moment, the New Testament came into force, and Paul sets forth that a testament is not valid yet as long as the one who gave it is still alive. And this we all know. But when the death takes place of the one who gave the testament, the last will, then everything what he left behind is given over to the heirs. And therefore the word heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. Not only in glory, already here we may receive everything what God prepared for us in Christ. Also this we want to take to heart. It is necessary that we see this biblical order and recognize it. Otherwise we don't know with what we can count of what is contained in the testament. Everything what is written in the new covenant, already because of the promises of the old covenant, it has come into force in the moment when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary. And here we are told, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the confession of our heart, out of full conviction. The Father has revealed himself in the Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Out from him, we as sons and daughters have been taken out, and we were born, just like Eve was taken out from Adam. So the bride was taken out from the side of Christ. She is a part of him. She belongs to him. And therefore, we also believe every word and receive every promise which he has given in it by faith. I would like, before I come back to the scripture, read some very important statements from the sermon that we looked at already in the past two meetings. Here on page 24 it is written, the blood was a positive sign that the Lamb died. No make-believe. The Lamb really died. The Holy Ghost is a positive token that God's Lamb died for you. You received the token yourself, for his very life is in you. See, it's not a make-believe. No. No make-believe. There's no put-on. There's no impersonation. It's just there. Amen. We don't need to pump. We don't have to make efforts. It's there. It was laid into us. And the Spirit of God bears witness upon the blood-bought multitude that divine life has come into them. May I ask, nobody needs to raise his hand, but with a yes, everybody can answer in a choir. Who believes with all his heart to have received eternal life? Amen. If we don't believe, then we die in our sin. But if we believe, then we crossed from death into life. Faith is the means of transport, not the works. The faith in the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Not a faith, but the faith. The faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the finished work of redemption. On page 29 it says, first thing he done to his people was sent a prophet with a message. He identified himself with his prophet by sending the pillar of fire to his people. Then he let the token apply to get under this blood, for he had accepted this substitute death in their place. The blood was the token that he looked on you in mercy. You heard the message. You believed on the pillar of fire. You accepted the substitutionary sacrifice that he had provided for you. You were under the blood of life that went out for you. My, what a perfect thing. You are under the blood. Now you are under the Spirit, under the Holy Spirit. You believe the message of this day. You believe the power, the pillar of fire. You believe and you know that it is so. Amen. We say amen to it. We recognized that God has done something in every age and that he has remained faithful to his purpose. Before he does something, he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And whoever receives such a man of God, he receives him. And he who believes him believes God. And so we may recognize in this time, he who can believe and accept the divine message, the promised word for this time, he has already therein the proof that the Holy Spirit has drawn him and revealed it to him. For no one can take something for himself unless it is given to him by God. And a man must come to God and establish a relationship with him to receive this inflow from him. This doesn't fall into our lap by reading. This is given to us by revelation. As certain as God revealed everything to his servants and prophets, so certain the same must be revealed to them who hear that, what the Spirit says unto the churches. And I believe we may belong to them. Here it speaks of the pillar of fire, the light, the cloud, the supernatural cloud that was already in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. When Saul was on the way to Damascus, he suddenly saw a bright light, brighter than the sun at noonday. He was blinded by this light. We read in the Bible, God dwells in a light where no one has access to. God is light. And Jesus even said, he who follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. This thought we already touched upon this morning. Those who sat in darkness, they have seen a bright light, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word fleshed out to them because it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. We all who have been acquainted with that, what God has done in our time, we like to remember January. It was the 24th of January, 1950, when Brother Branham spoke in the Great Colosseum in Houston, Texas. And these unbelieving photographers and critics were there, and they took one picture after the other to then, on the next day, to write and to present photos. And it happened at midnight that Mr. Ayers and Ted Kipperman, that they suddenly were in the hotel and said, where is the man William Branham? And they asked him, do you know that above your head was a supernatural light? And he said, I know it. This is a witness for you because you didn't believe what I said. And then, because it was so unusual, it had to be given over to the head of the FBI, Dr. George J. Lacey. And already on the 29th of January, he wrote a certificate, no double exposure, no fiddling, nothing. The light was there. Did William Branham do this? No. God bore record in a supernatural way. This is my servant whom I have sent with my word. Finish. And whoever cannot believe God shall later on not somehow accuse him when he condemns him. When God does something, then there's nothing left to us but to believe. For then we are dealing with a testimony of God, not only with words or with an evangelist or with a man of God. In that moment, where God bears witness in a supernatural way that cannot be influenced neither of the preacher nor of the prophet nor of the multitude, which cannot be influenced by anyone, but is only left to the sovereignty of God. In that moment, God requires from us that we take off our shoes and pay attention to that what is being said, and that we understand that we stand on holy ground. Because I say this now here, it really comes to my mind now. In this great meeting, now on my last trip through Africa, it somehow came over me, and I touched upon this thought, very demonstrative. I actually didn't know why. I grabbed my shoes, and I took them off, and threw them to the left and right in the midst of the sermon, and I continued to preach. You can do that at the same time. And I tell you, it was very mighty. It was so mighty that the people understood in that moment where God testifies in a supernatural way, like it happened in the ministry of Brother Branham, then it's no more the question how you stand to a man of God, but how do you stand to God? And most people don't understand this. They say, how do you think about Branham? That's not the question at all. But do you believe God? This is the question. Did you understand what God is doing now? Or are you in a boat that doesn't go into the direction at all into which God is now going with his people? Shall we not be grateful for it, that the Lord has given us this grace to believe with all our hearts? Of course, we also believed beforehand. But when then comes the confirmation, this confirmation of God that cannot be influenced, which then has to be admitted by unbelieving critics. And the believers, what do? They throw the picture with a pillar of fire onto the floor and say, this has nothing to say to me. This has nothing to say to me. And in that moment, Brother Rus and Brother Schmidt were with me when this happened. And in that moment, we as people can achieve nothing anymore. In that moment, it is the best one stands up and walks his way. Whoever has no reverence before God and before that what he's doing, he has no chance. The first is reverence before God. As the prophet Isaiah says, who tremble while thinking on his word. The fear of God is the beginning of the divine wisdom. And so we may gratefully acknowledge that the Lord in our days, as at the time of Moses, at the time of the beginning of the New Testament, also now he again revealed himself. Certainly, the world thinks we are stupid. They say these are the worst fanatics who exist on God's earth. This you can believe me. That's how they speak about us. and we feel happy. To Brother Branham, somebody said, "You are mad." And then he says, "But I feel good about it. Leave me as I am." And yes, amen, amen. If we feel good in God, then things are okay. The pain will seize the others when the time comes. What did the Lord say at that time? "Now you are sad and weep, and the others rejoice and laugh. But I tell you, your sadness will turn into joy. Then the mouth will be full of laughing and the tongue full of glory. Praise be to our God." Then it will be confirmed what a proverb says, "He who laughs last laughs best." And that's how it will also be then. Here it continues, "To be sanctified is not yet the token. The blood alone is not yet the token. The life is the token." Everything belongs to it. The redemption, the justification, the sanctification. But then the divine life in us. This is the token. It continues here. "The life is the token. Your life has gone. You are dead. Your life is dead. You are hid in God through Christ and sealed in by the Holy Spirit. The mind that was in Christ is in you." Christ, the Bible, and the Word of God is the same. A total union. God in His Word, God in His people, through His Spirit, a divine harmony is established in His church. Total agreement with His Word, and the anointing of the Spirit comes upon us to work all this. Here it continues. "God laid the power right into Moses' lips that he could speak out his word. Whatever he spoke out came into existence." Amen. That's how Brother Branham confirms it here. And also this we believe with all our hearts. Here somebody may rightfully ask, how shall this happen? And the answer is in the Word of God. The Holy Ghost shall come upon us, and the power of the Most High will overshadow us. And then it will come to fulfillment. On that day, it's no more you who speak, but the Spirit of God will speak through you. Through divine inspiration, we will speak out and see that it happens before our eyes. Oh yes, Brother Branham had some cases, and we were allowed to experience this here 2 or 3 times, that God can speak, that He can reveal, that He can commission, and what is spoken out in His name by the inspiration of the Spirit, this happens. It must happen. For it is the word of the Lord. Only God uses human lips for it. But that's how it was with all the prophets. That's how it was with the apostles. Human lips, and yet God's word. It continues here. Oh, it should make our hearts happy. We, as the bride church, should apply it. Don't fail. Don't miss it. For the sun is about to set. Don't rest day or night. Don't take a chance. You will lack it, children. It won't work. You must have the token. You say, "I believe. I believe the message." That's all right. That's good. But you must have the token. Do you all hear who you are gathered here? you must have the token displayed. Without it, all your believing is in vain. You live a good life. You listen to what the Word says. You go to church. You try to live right. All this is fine, but that's not it. We can have everything and comply with everything, whatever we can do ourselves, being faithful in all things, going to the services, reading the Word, praying, everything what may concern our faith life. But we are then still missing one thing, namely the quickening power, the transforming power, the rapturing power, and this we must have. Therefore it is written, if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then He will also quicken your mortal bodies. How insistently the man of God says here, don't take any chance, you will lack it. We know Matthew 25 very well. One day it will be history and it will be over. Those who were ready went in, and the others who lacked the oil remained behind and knocked then at the door and said, open to us. And this connection is with the bridegroom. It says, and the bridegroom came, not the Son of Man, but the bridegroom. So, in connection with the fetching of the bride, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all went out to meet him. And suddenly, it says then, those who were ready went in, and the others stood at the closed door. To which group do you want to belong? Serious question. To which group do we want to be numbered? The scripture classifies us there by itself. Very clear it is being said, they lacked oil. And everybody knows, oil is a reference to the Holy Spirit. To it belongs revelation, to it belongs anointing, everything what comes from the Holy Spirit. But oil is always a reference to the Holy Spirit when it's about biblical symbols or about prophecy. So you see very well why Brother Branham put such a weight on it, that all who have become believers, that they are really filled with the Holy Spirit, that God's revealed Word is being sealed in them. Yes, that the work of God is brought to a completion in them. We don't philosophize here about a message of God. We have understood what purpose is connected with this message, namely the rapture, the being taken up to the Lord to then see His face. It continues here, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. Not a church, not a denomination, but the body of Jesus Christ, into which we were baptized by one Spirit. Also about this we spoke already. There is only one church, and of her the Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Hebrews, this church is being called the church of the firstborn. Christ was the firstborn among many brethren, and we are now the firstborn. We have received by grace the birthright. Israel gave it away. We received it. And when the time comes, Israel will then be taken in again. It goes on here. Let me tell you today, as his servant, unless the token is on the door, there is a spiritual death going to strike. And all churches are heading back for the World Council of Churches. They are all going back to Catholicism. Only those who are genuine born again is going to stay out. Amen. How many years ago was that? Certainly. One day this may cost my life. But that would be nice. I've said it here before. If I could end my testimony for the Lord with my life, then I would only be classified in the group of those who spoke in the name of the Lord. But look at it today. Not only in the World Council of Churches, all are returning to Rome. There's only one church that orientates herself back to Jerusalem, to that point where the word took its beginning, Jerusalem. Teaching shall go forth from Mount Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Paul went to Jerusalem after 14 years to compare whether that what he preaches is in conformity with that what the apostles preached in the early church. Who dares to say it openly where the danger is? Who dares to say it openly what must be said? And also this we should probably say here. The people don't see it. They went against the light, and therefore they were blinded by the light. The light can have two effects, and mostly this is the case. If we walk with the light, then the way is illuminated to us on which we walk, and then we go from clarity to clarity and from truth to truth. But if we go against the light, no matter how bright it is, and the brighter it is, the worse it will blind us. And then we are blinded and remain it because we went against the light. And we don't judge any man. It is still the time of grace. All can still return to the Lord, provided they didn't sin against the Spirit of God. But not only churches and denominations, also famous evangelists, they didn't make themselves the effort to search what really was preached. Because of hearsay, they rejected. By hearsay, they made their judgment, and this doesn't work. The Holy Scripture says, how can you make a judgment about someone who hasn't been heard? And Paul said, I submit the request that I can give my defense speech in front of Festus and Agrippa. Let's let people have their say, and then we will find out that it is no heresy at all. Then we will find out that we ourselves went astray, and that God has sent a prophet to bring us, who we went astray, to bring us back on the straight way. This is the mystery, what matters today. But who wants to subordinate? Who would admit of the so-called great men of God of the hour that they were mistaken? Oh, this would be a disgrace before all the people. Millions would then have to admit that they don't have a perfect understanding. But what will the millions do on the day of judgment? They will accuse. They will accuse that these men didn't search for the truth and that they didn't preach it. And thus they led the people around the truth. and they kept them in error. No, as we said before, we are ordained as the little flock to bear the reproach of Christ and to believe with all our heart, as the scripture has said, no matter what people say about us. To us, the judgment of God is important. What does our Lord say about you and about me? That's the question, and this is what matters. Here it continues, we see it. We see the same pillar of fire. Even science has took the pictures of it. We see the signs of the end time are here. If you don't believe me, believe the signs, believe the word, for they speak of what I'm telling you. If I ain't telling you the truth, they would never speak back. God will never speak to a lie. God speaks the truth. And these words are testifying that I am telling you the truth. They are the one that testifies of the message that I'm preaching, not only because the angel down there on the river that day said, your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. But the works itself prove it, and I believe it. I believe it, as true as God lives, and as true as we are gathered here today. I believe that back then, at around 14 hours in the afternoon, on the 11th of June, 1933, on Spring Street, I walked down this street. I stood close to the bridge that Brother Branham saw already at the age of 7 that it would be built. And he counted the people who would fall down with a part of the bridge and who would die. How many died? Who knows the life story? How many? 14. I think 14. Yes. He has seen it at the age of 7. And how many years later the bridge was built? I think 19 years later the bridge was built. And when it was so far, exactly that happened, what was shown to him. A part of the bridge broke off and fell down. And exactly 14 people, as he counted them, they perished. At the age of 7, he has seen it. Since his childhood, as long as he can remember back, he has seen visions. A true prophet of God, a man sent from God, with a message that shall forerun the second coming of Christ. I hope that God lets us find grace in his sight, that we may be carriers of this divine message and bring it into all the world before the second coming of Christ. It continues here. If you can't believe that the angel told the truth, believe the works. For the Bible said, these things will happen at the end time. They are they that testify. They are the ones that speaks louder than my words or anyone else. It is his word. They testify of this time. What a wonderful thing, perhaps, for our beloved brothers and sisters who are newly added. Look what God has done in the past to know what he did right now. To Daniel came an angel. His name was Gabriel, and he spoke to him. To John on the Isle of Patmos came an angel and made known to him by signs and so forth what would come to pass in the future. To Zacharias came an angel when he stood at the right side of the altar of incense. To Mary came the angel. To the shepherds, even the heavenly host came. And the angel said with a loud voice, To you is born today Christ, who is the Lord, in the city of David. Why is it written in Hebrews 1, God maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Both is written, God has his angels in heaven and his ministers on earth. And when he wants to say something, he will ask no one for it. He will act sovereign in all future, just as he did it until now. Then there's only one thing left. Blessed is the man who is not offended at him. Of our Lord it says, in chapter 3 or 4, when he was tempted, when the temptation was over, angels came and ministered to him. Heaven is not very far away. The angel of the Lord camps around them who fear God. God is present in the gatherings of the saints, and it is getting high time that genuine, true, supernatural things happen in the church of the living God. We need them, and we believe that the Lord is the same and remains the same forever. Now quickly, in a moment we'll come to a close. I heard it stays light longer today. I read here again, you should love one another. The believers should separate themselves from the world. Don't just take it now lightly. You people, who you will listen to these tapes, ye men and women, listen a minute. If you ever believed me, you believe it now. It is high time to quit fussing with one another. Believe the message of the Bible. Believe Jesus Christ. Love, honor, and respect one another. Amen. May one esteem the other higher than himself. Speak good things about one another. One day it has to come to the point that there is this untroubled, intimate connection and fellowship with God and among the believers. To the Galatians, Paul writes, if ye bite and devour one another, then take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. What did he say there? Who has bewitched you? You made such a good beginning. Who stopped you? May every spell be broken. May every right of Satan be loosened. That God alone would have the full right on us and keep it. That all the mess would be over. All misunderstandings would come to an end. All slanders stop. And our tongue, our life, all our being would be consecrated for God and be put into his service. What do you think? What will then happen? Oh yes, there is a need of the right atmosphere. And to this, we all have to contribute. We just have to understand that our tongue has to be circumcised. We must understand that our words can have severe consequences. And we must know that we are ordained to proclaim the great deeds of God and to avert damage from the church. If self-destructive spirits are at work, then one knows without having the gift of discernment that it cannot be of God. The Spirit of God will always be comforting, healing, discouraging. He will never tear down, never be destructive. The Lord builds. The devil wants to destroy. But the Lord then also came to destroy the works of the devil and to establish the work of God. We read on. Notice, they were not just coming together to talk about the message. They came together to apply the blood and to apply the token. Again, coming back to the Old Testament, not just briefly here, two or three passages. He displays his power. John 14:12 says, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." New Testament, new covenant, new life. It shows that Jesus met every requirement that God required and made us true sons and daughters of God. Under the blood, there is no more condemnation. In Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Here, not those are addressed who believe on him, but those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know, not only believe on him, but he in us, and we in him, his word in us, we in his word. It has to come to a union with Christ, not in a distance, believing on him, but he in us, taking dwelling. It continues here. Here, not those are addressed who just believe on him, but those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." Oh, couldn't I take a text from that and stayed about a couple more hours on it? No more condemnation. Free from sin. Free from the cares of this world. No condemnation for them who by one Spirit are baptized into one body. Hallelujah. No more condemnation. And this we also mentioned, what Paul writes in Romans 8. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he who condemns them? Christ is here who justified them. Divine justification by the faith in Jesus Christ. And there no longer needs to be helped. Only praise and thanks is left, which we have to bring to our Lord. Therein, the blood of the Lamb has accomplished its effect. The God of heaven has accepted you. His life is in you. You are sons and daughters of God. It would be nice if we all would say amen to such statements. It will make us inwardly free. And we don't just do it because we do it. We do it out of conviction with all our heart. We agree. We say yes to what God has said and done. And therefore we say amen. This means so it is, so be it. And because it is so, therefore it is so. I read on. But see, he was not only a human being, he was the God-man. And so also the believers are now not only human beings, but sons and daughters of God. You have his life that was in him. It came back upon you. It has changed you. From a sinner to a born-again Christian. It has taken you out from churches and denominations and made you a born-again Christian filled with the Holy Spirit. The life of God flows now from you like sparks from an anvil as you walk full of virtue and love and gentleness as the Holy Spirit moves and speaks through you. What shall we say to it? Now we could well say, Lord, let it become like this. Sometimes it is already so as we read it, and sometimes it still shall and will be so. But both times we have a positive attitude to it, because we believe God. We no longer allow unbelief to have its say. For Paul says, I believe, therefore I speak. And because we believe the divine message, therefore we speak boldly about it. Just a few more lines. Now look, the word assures us of the promise. All these are scriptures I've set down here. I could preach all day on it. The word assures us of the promise. The word is the promise. And the word is God. And the word is in us. And we become the word. And the word takes shape in us. If ye abide in me, and my word in you, it just becomes one great big family. It assures us. Why? Well, it's part of us. What a mighty text. Therein it assures us of the promise. Did we all hear this? And did we receive it? Let us believe it with all our hearts. There is no need to emphasize here, to raise one's voice mightily. Here God has spoken so mightily through His Word with us, and we believe that the power of God is in the Word of God to accomplish on them who believe what is written in it and what was promised in it. Do you all believe it, that God watches over His Word and fulfills it? Then I read you the last passage here. The token is the sign that you have been purchased and been accepted. Here it is about to believe and to accept full obedience to the Word of God entitles you to the token. Full obedience, not just a part of it, as far as your denomination goes, but all of it. Full obedience to the Word of God, which is Christ, and which brings you into Christ. May the Almighty God bless all these words on us. May He work faith in us, giving us courage, that we by faith step upon the victory ground and know what God promised was given to us already. It's ours. There the walls of Jericho can still stand. We have the promise for the promised land. And we have heard the word of promise and believed it. And we received the spirit of promise. I ask you, don't we see the connections here? Galatians 4:28. As Isaac was the son of promise, so also you, beloved brothers, are children of promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Him to whom the promise applied inherited all things, what Abraham had. The others received gifts and were sent out of the house. Isaac became the heir of all. And so we close this weekend that will remain precious to me personally for a long time to come. precious words of God we have heard. We believe them with all our hearts. Right at the end, we will see that God fulfills the word of promise which He has given at the right time. What we need is that what is written in James 5. Dear brothers, pay attention that you are patient as the farmer until the field receives the former and latter rain. We have to be patient until the hour of God comes. We are here, and when God wants to do something, we are available for Him. May He give us a heart that clings to Him undivided, an obedient, a humble, a heart filled with love. May He give us obedience and faith to be able to serve and follow Him. May He do on us according to His word. Blessed be His name. Amen. I read now the words from Mark chapter 11, and I ask that we let them enter into our hearts, believing them. Mark chapter 11, from 22. And Jesus answering says unto them, have faith in God, not in you, not in me, not in a prophet. Have faith in God. Amen. Faith in God, in the God who created heaven and earth, the Almighty. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Not what the preacher says, then you still have no faith. But in the moment where the one affected brings it himself over his lips, he has taken full responsibility for it, and he knows what he does. You don't have to fear. God is Almighty. God never disappointed anyone. He has not let anyone down yet. When Peter said, Lord, upon your word, he did it. He was not put to shame. We cannot be put to shame. Now we want to pray together. And during this prayer, faith will increase. And when the faith has reached the point that you receive the certainty that you can speak out for what you ask for, speak it out. Confess with the lips what you believe with your heart, and it will be given to you. It must be spoken out. In that moment, Satan can no longer attack you. Then you won the victory. Then the word has become your testimony. They have overcome him, Satan, by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And we are under the blood. The word of God is our testimony, and the Spirit himself bears witness of it, that the word is fulfilled. Let us now pray together for a few moments. We raise together our voices. May it be equally loud, not too loud, not too silent, just opening our hearts and mouths in worship, praying together in harmony, in the Spirit and in the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We exalt your holy name. Hallelujah. Lord, you have spoken with us. You revealed yourself to us. We thank you for it. Your word, your name, the mysteries you revealed to us. Dear Savior, We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. You have seen all the hands. You know the prayer requests, the needs, the troubles, the difficulties. Lord, greater than the helper, the need cannot be. Lord, you are our help in the time of trouble. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord upholds the victory in our midst, in our lives. Lord, manifest thyself. Give faith to speak out for what we prayed for. Come with your holiness, with your power, with the anointing of your Holy Spirit into our midst. Hallelujah. Your anointing is upon us. Your Spirit rules in our midst. Hallelujah. And everything what has breath, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, give joy, give peace, give certainty, courage in the faith. Hallelujah. Give the Holy Spirit divine fire, love, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, also in the people in whom he is well pleased. My God, you have people on whom your well pleasing rests. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, Almighty God, based upon the authority of your word, upon the basis of the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we have gathered here in one accord, in your presence, to experience your word as a confirmed reality. Lord, we thank you for it. Satan, get behind us. You have lost your right. In the name of Jesus Christ, every spell is broken. The captives are free. The sick are healed. The lost are saved. For the Spirit of the Lord God rests upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory and worship be to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God.